This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Rabbosai, Bruchim Abayim. It's the last Monday before Pesach, so we have something, a very interesting topic this morning, and that is the night of the Seder, as we're recounting the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Jewish heart is a flame. The Jewish heart is a flame with Emunah in the Gula HaSida, in the Bias HaMashiach. And every year, as Matasio Salomon puts it in his Sefer Matnas Chaim, Chodar Badar, in every generation, Me'esha Galinu Me'artzenu Me'nesrachaknu Me'alad Masenu. Every year, from the time we've been exiled and we've been distanced from our land, Kishimagiyim L'chag HaGa'ula, when we arrive at the Yom Tov of Redemption, Zman Cheruseinu, the time of our freedom, V'leiv Kol Yisrael Malei Tzafia L'Yeshua, every Jewish heart is filled with the yearning for salvation, for Geula, the Kisufin, the Cheres HaGufa HaNefesh. In other words, every year at the Seder, we begin the Seder, we say, Hashata Hacha, L'Shana Haba B'Arad Yisrael, Hashata Avdei, L'Shana Haba B'nei Chayrin, and we sort of think to ourselves, you know, it's wonderful God took us out of Mitzrayim, but you know, we're still in the same old mess. You know, we got ourselves into the mess again. We're still in Golos. And through the night of discussing the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim and all the miracles of Mitzrayim, we end off the Seder, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. And every year we say again and again, Nochama, Nochama, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. And as Rav Matasio puts it, really paraphrasing the Navi, Avar katzir kala kayetz v'anachnu loy noshanu. The harvest has passed, the summer has passed, and we're still in the dregs, we're still in the galus, you know, wonderful, beautiful say there, but you know, what good is it doing us? And every year on Chag HaPesach, we yearn, you know, finally Eliyahu HaNavi should come and take us out. And the question is, where is he? Why isn't he at the door when I open the door? What's taking so long? What's taking so long?
Not right.
What's taking so long? So, as the Chafetz Chaim puts it, in the Shmir Salashan, Chafetz Chaim tells us, Hine Yadua Maimer Chachamenu, we're well familiar with the statement of our Chazal, the Dar Shobai Yesheni, the generation of the second Beis HaMikdash, they were big Talmid Chachamim, they had Koilim for young people, for old people, for middle-aged people. People knew Taira, Hayibat Taira Mitzvahs. So what was the problem? The problem was they couldn't get along. So the Rishonim tell us that if this Avera of Sinas Chinam was strong enough that it was able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so certainly it's strong enough to prevent the Beis HaMikdash from being rebuilt, right? That's a very strong logic. That if Sinas Chinam is strong enough to already destroy a pre-existing Beis HaMikdash, you know, usually there's a concept of status quo. Beis HaMikdash is standing, you know. It's probably a difficult thing for Hashem to go make the decision and say, you know what, it's time to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So if the Avera was strong enough for Hashem to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, all the more so if the Avera is still prevalent, it ain't going to be built. And that's why Chazal say, any generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not built in, we have to consider it as if we destroyed it. Right? If someone were to ask you, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Don't blame it on your Elta Zeda. It's your fault. It's my fault. So Chafetz Chaim says like this, very frightening words, right? If we were to ask, how long are we going to be in Galus for? So we would say, oh yeah, by the year 6000, it's going to be over. No. You know how long are we going to be in Galus for? Until we fix the problem, right? How long is the water going to leak out of your pipe? Until you fix it. Right? It's not going to get better on its own. How long is the water going to seep into the roof? Till you repair it. Right? How long is your car going to be broken for? Until you put in a new engine. Right? So, how long are we going to be in Galus for? Until we correct the problem. That's what Chafetz Chaim writes very clearly. V'im kein, al karchecha she'anu tzrichim l'hischazek l'sakein hached hazeh. We need to strengthen ourselves to fix the problem. Dahainu li'izar sh'loi li'kashobai. To be careful not to stumble. And then he adds four really frightening words. Really, you know, when you read these words, you chap a tzitter. De'ad mosai nie bagoyla. How long are we going to be in Golos for? How long? The answer is, until we fix the problem. Then the Chafetz Chaim, you know, describes very vividly. Imagine, Rabbi Isai, if Mashiach walked into the room right now, and he said, $100 menorah, $100 menorah. The guy, $200. Another guy, $500. Right? They're bidding. They're having, you know, an auction to build the menorah for the Beis Hamikdash. Right? Everybody, I'm sure all the Ashirim would come in. 10,000, right? If Master Yainer goes for $10,000, I'm sure you'll have a guy who'll donate $10 million to build a menorah. And then okay, $5 million Arayin, $10 million, right? They have an auction for Aron, right? Some Erishtimal, they'll auction up. $30 million to have your name on the Beis HaMikdash, right? You know, on the front, as you're walking into the Beis HaMikdash, it'll say, you know, the Friedman Family Temple, or something like that. Would people pay money for that? Yeah. Says the Chafetz Chaim, don't worry, it's not going to cost any money. No money. No one has to give a penny. The only thing we need is, you got to fix the problem. He writes, V'hinei, Im ha'isalanu rishus livnois Beis HaMikdash, if we had permission to build a Beis HaMikdash, v'hayitzarach kesef lazeh, and it required money, right? You know, you make an appeal in a shul, they're known like the Jewish people, you raise the money, right? In any shul, money, people even who don't have money, they donate. Every Jew would open up their wallet and give whatever they can. In order to have a share in the building of the temple. You don't need any money for this. Okay? Mashiach is going to say, I don't need your credit card, I don't need your cash, I don't need checks. No, all you have to do is all you have to do is don't speak Lashon Hara, try to get along with your neighbor, and v'lechaz b'midas hashalom. That's all you need. So ask Rav Matasyo Solomon, so the night of Pesach, when we're celebrating, leaving Mitzrayim, you would think we would do something to try to correct the mess that we're in. You know, you eat the marah to commemorate the bitterness of Mitzrayim, and you eat the matzah to commemorate how God took you out of Mitzrayim. You would think, you know, sitting here in America in the Gullus for 2,000 years, you would think there would be some ritual to sort of put into our heads, what do we need to do to make Yetzias Mitzrayim worth something to us? Right now, well, I mean, what value does it have? Now because we're still in Gullus. So you would think there would be something we do the night of the Seder to knock a little sense into our skulls. You know, we got to fix the problem. What? What is it? What are we doing? The matzah, the marah, the charoises. Is there anything we do the night of the Seder to knock some sense into our brains that we got to fix the problem? Okay. That might... He'll have to put in new teeth, but it's not going to help. It's just going to, you know, get you into a bigger mess. We're inviting everyone with the door closed and locked. And we don't even have an extra seat at the table. Everyone who wants, you know, come in. And God's looking down. Wow, you know, what a great people, right? Okay. So Rabbi Isai, very interesting. Very interesting. You know, Rabbi Obam gave a shir last week about, you know, the machine matzah and the hand matzah, and he brought in the opinion of the Stanzarov, who said that machine matzah is chametz gamor, and he brought in the opinion of the Aruch Haner that it's better than a hand matzah. So today we're going to discuss the opinion of Rav Shlomo Kluger. Okay, I don't think that we mentioned that. Rav Shlomo Kluger also was posed in the time that the machines were invented. And he was posed with the question, is machine matzah acceptable for the night of Pesach? So Rav Shlomo Kluger, by the way, he was a Rav in Breida, and the Beis HaLevi, when he wanted to learn the art of Rabbanos, you know, to say pshat in the Rambam, that's one thing. But the Rabbanos is a different parsha. So he went to learn Rabbanos from the Rav Shlomo Kluger. So Rav Shlomo Kluger, one of the most prolific authors of all time. If you go into... the libraries, you know, Sfarim libraries. So you see a fat sefer, right? It's called the Chachma Shleima, fat sefer, you know, maybe double the size. And you see Rav Shlomo Kluger, Bereishis, right? But then you realize it's just Parshas Bereishis. And then you see another fat sefer and it says Noyach on it. And then you see another fat sefer and it says Lech Lecha. And you have 17 Sfarim and you're not even out of Sefer Bereishis yet. Okay? Anyway, so he says like this. Regarding the question, Haneschadish ba'ashkenaz. Can you use the machine that was invented in Germany? Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, Hinei chalila lasos came. Heaven forbid. Mikama v'kama ta'amim. For many, many reasons, she'avar be'ezus Hashem. Aye, in Germany, they do it? So he says, you're going to bring me a raya from what they do in Germany? He said, don't bring me a raya from the Ashkenazim. That's the first thing he says. Anyway, he says, v'hinei nirali gimel ta'amim da'asar humidina. There are three reasons that it's prohibited to use machine matzah halachically, that it might be chametz. Number one, the first reason is that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, it has to be baked with kavana. Let's say a cheresh, a shaita, or a katan bakes your matzah. Good. It's no good. Why? They don't have das. So says, what if there's a gadol standing over the katan and sort of supplying the das to the katan and baking the matzah? Still no good. Why? Because the one baking the matzah has to have kavana to bake the matzah l'shem mitzvah. So says Rav Shlomo Kluger, and what kind of das does a machine have? You're telling me the machine has more das than the katan? Machine doesn't have human intellect. And therefore he holds one does not fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with machine matzah. He says three reasons. Echa, number one, to latzeis ba yidei choyves matzah, mitzvah, in order to fulfill the obligation. Vadei loy mahani yidei machine, doesn't help with the machine. Since we hold that even if a cheresh shayt v'katan bakes the matzah, you're not yoytze. Why not? Shein lohem das. They don't have das. And it doesn't even help if there is a gadol standing over them. This machine loy aduf mas of mimaisa katan. The actions of the machine are no better than the actions of a katan. They ain't loy das atzmai. Doesn't matter if you have Albert Einstein sitting over the machine and he's thinking deep kavanas of, you know, you could have, you know, the biggest rebbe in the world being mechave and all the yichudim pressing the buttons on the machine. It doesn't help. The machine is no better than a katan. Okay. And
who sits in the oven and says
what?
The oven is the same thing.
No, but here the machine, it's being baked, it's being kneaded, it's being, the ingredients are being mixed together. The making of the actual matzah is being done by the machine.
But that's actual is baking.
The definition of baking is not, is putting it into the fire. So here the machine is conveying it on the conveyor belt into the fire. And then he adds the reason we're going to focus on. And that is, you know why you can't make machine matzah? You can't use machine matzah. Because machine matzah is square. And matzah is supposed to be round. So therefore, so you'll say, so get a machine to make round matzah.
Who says round?
The machine can't make round matzah. It has too many crumbs. So therefore, since minhag b'Yisrael is to have round matzah, we don't want to change the minhag. And therefore you can't use machine matzah. No, he says, gam ko minhag Yisrael toira me'ayla. The custom of the Jewish people from forever, from way back, have a matzah agulim, or round matzah v'loy merubam. I mean, to use a square matzah, you're like you're almost a guy to use square matzah. You know, Jewish people use round matzah. V'atanasu ha-matzahs merubam. And now the machines make square matzah. Why not? Why can't they make round matzah? Too many crumbs. You know what, you're going to have it. The square matzah, it's easier for it to cut. But they couldn't get it down to make the round matzah. Yemikoyach ha-pirurim, kashukasav, aroim, kuvaydoi, rak shahima merubam. V'zelayasa l'shanas minhag Yisrael. We are not authorized to make any changes in Jewish custom. Lekach neilech be'ikvois avoseinu. Therefore, let us continue in the path of our forefathers. Umehem lo inazuz yamin usmal. We're not going to veer not to the right, not to the left. Uzchusa yagin aleinu lehashiv v'isanu el eretz aviseinu. In the zchus of following minhag Yisrael of making round matzah, we will be zolche for the Mashiach to come. That's why you're not to eat machine matzah, because the machine can't make round. I mean, who cares what shape the matzah is? It matters what shape the matzah is. There's a specific reason it has to be circular and not square. I mean, what kind of svar is that? Is there a reason it has to be circular? If there's no reason, I mean, you can't bake matzah in an oven anymore. Why? Because they used to bake matzah in Mitzrayim. Maybe we should move to Mitzrayim also and make the matzah in Mitzrayim. We should all go to Egypt for Pesach. People I know are makbid to go to all kinds of places, but you know, we should go to Egypt, and we should stand in the, we should go to the pyramids, and I mean, just because they made round matzah, what kind of, if there's no halachic reason to make round matzah, who cares if it's round, it's circular, it's square, it's rectangular, I mean, who really cares?
The people depend on the money from kneading, they were saying also. That was a
reason.
They need all the money.
So very interesting.
What was the third reason?
We only gave one of the halachic reasons. There are another two reasons, halachic reasons.
What?
No, this is just the conclusion. After he gave three halachic reasons, we're not going to get into the other two halachic reasons. We did the first one because of das, and then he concluded with the minhag reason, with the minhag reason.
Not the second.
Yeah.
So if three people are eating, and two eat shmura matzah, and one eats plain matzah.
Could they make a zuman?
Yeah.
Look on TorahAnyTime.com. Rabbi Obam has a shir on that. It depends. Well, the conclusion was, it depends. If I don't eat from you because I hold what you're eating as chametz, you can't make a zeman. But if it's just a chumra, if it's just a strict practice, then we can make a zeman.
Would you be against making square matzahs by hand?
Yeah. Yep, you got it. Okay. So what we want to know, Rabbi Isai, is there anything we do the night of the Seder that sort of jogs our mind and makes us think, you know, there's something we need to correct to get out of this galus? Okay. So says Rav Matasyahu Salomon that he found in the writings of the Ben Ishchai that indeed there is something we do the night of the Seder that sort puts in perspective what got us into the mess and how we're going to get out of it. And that is, we know, the night of the Seder, we dip two times. Right? Ein mol karpas in Salzwasser, right? Ein mol moror in charoises, remember? Right? They trained you in Yiddish, the manishtana. We dip the karpas in salt water. We dip moror in charoises. What is the union of dipping two times the night of the Seder? Everything else we do the night of the Seder four times. Four cups, four l'shayna shel geula. Everything is four. Four questions. Why do we dip two times? Says the Ben Ishchai. What got us into Golas, right? If I were to ask you, how did Klal Yisrael end up in the land of Egypt? We sold Yosef. We sold Yosef, right? The brothers couldn't get along. They hated each other. They wanted to kill Yosef. Ultimately, what? They shechted a gedi. They shechted a goat. They dipped the kesaynes into dam. The dipping of his coat in dam was the cause of us going into Golas. What got us out of Golas? They took the Ezoiv grass, the hyssop grass, and they took the Agudas Ezoiv, and they dipped it into the blood, and they put it on the doorpost. One dipping put us into the Golas, one dipping got us out of the Golas, says the Ben Ishchai. The first dipping got us into the Golas. Why? Because it was a dipping of sinas chinam, it was a dipping of hatred, it was a dipping of being disparate from your brother. But then to rectify that, what did they take? They took the agudas ezer. What does the word aguda mean? The collection, the gathering, the coming together that Klal Yisrael understood in Mitzrayim, that in order to rectify the sin of the sale of Yosef, they needed to act bi aguda achas. So you have one dipping, that's how we got in. One dipping, that's how we got out. And therefore we commemorate these two dippings the night of the Pesach to make us realize, why did we go in? Why did we go out? Look at number six.
What does the salt water have to do with the blood? That's my question.
Okay, it's a commemoration. Look what he says in number six. Hatshuva l'zehu, ki yesh v'yesh b'seder mitzvos halayla. There are significant activities that we do the night of the Seder, Mashabo lo'oire roisanu l'sakein sinas chinam, that comes to arouse us to rectify sinas chinam. Kidei shenizka legula. Where? What? V'hitimuna b'soid hashtei tefilo shanu matbim b'lai l'hazet. This is hidden. This is symbolized by the two dippings we do the night of the Seder. Ki ro'isi b'shem ha'goin Rabbi Yosef Chaim. But Matasyo Salomon writes, he saw in the writings of the Ben Ishchai, ha'tam shanu matbilin Halayla hazeh shtei pam. And why do we dip two times? Ki hagolos eschila yidei tefila by mechiras Yosef, like it says, vayitbelu es hakesoines bedam. And what was the geula? Ayidei tefila ulakachtem agudas ezoiv utvaltem adam. So in other words, if we were to ask, why did we go into galus sinas chinam, as symbolized by dipping number one? Why did we leave the galus? We were able to rectify that. We came together, be'aguda, symbolized by dipping number two. Okay. I mean, he had a very strong question. He wanted to know, if the night of Pesach, we're commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're still in the Golus, why don't we do anything? So what's the answer? The two dippings? That's it? I mean, nobody ever heard. First, what if you're an Ashkenazi and you never learned the Sfarim of the Ben Ishchai? Then you're going to go through the whole Seder. You're not going to know one thing we do the night of Pesach that has anything to do with why we went down. So Rabbi Yisai, as we'll see, there's a lot more symbolism. And as we'll see, perhaps the main theme of the night of the Seder is focusing on why we ended up in Mitzrayim. If I were to ask you, what is the first ritual we do the night of the Seder?
Kiddush.
Okay, Kiddush we do every Yom Tov, every Shabbos. Karpas. Why do we do Karpas, right? You ask your kids, they're going to come home with the big... We're washing, really,
washing
for the Karpas. For the Karpas.
We're not making a bracha.
We're not making a bracha.
Kids are going to ask.
Well, really, Rabbi said also, important halacha, anytime you dip something in a liquid, you have to wash your hands. You want to dip a donut in milk? There's a chiv netilas yadayim. Right? Anytime you dip a food in one of the Zion Mashkim.
Only this fruits?
No.
Free of fruits?
No. 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 Any food?
You said fruit.
No. It's not.
Everything.
Nope. No. Any oichal, any food that you dip in a liquid, let's say you want to dip a donut in milk, the place can even say, why don't you have to wash your hands when you eat cereal? You're dipping Cheerios in milk. The answer is because you're eating with the utensil. So I once asked the Pesach that, Shaila. No, ketchup is not a liquid. Fruit juice is not a liquid. It comes from a tomato.
You use this fork to dip the carpet.
So you shouldn't. You should dip with your hand. Otherwise, why are you washing your hand? Okay, there's more to talk about this, but that's in general a halacha, that when you dip something in, people that you dip your donut in coffee, go wash until sidayim. Don't make a bracha, but you have to wash until sidayim. Fine.
Dipping apples into honey as well?
Honey is honey is one of the liquids.
Yeah.
You washed your hands, yeah. You washed your hands for bread. Exactly. You washed your hands.
Some people make it before the Nutella.
I don't know. Anyway, Rabbi Yisai, why do we eat karpas? What's karpas? So you'll go, you'll ask your kids, and they'll come with their big notebooks with all the glue stick stuff and all the fancy decorations, and they'll say, what's pshat in karpas? Samach perach. 600,000 people worked in hard labor. Rabbi Yisai, you'll hear reasons for karpas from today till tomorrow. You want to hear the reason for karpas? According to the Rishonim, look at Rabbeinu Manoach. It's a commentary on the Rambam. Says Rabbeinu Manoach, you know what karpas is? Va'anu noyagin bekarpas zecher? L'ksoines ha-pasim. It's a remembrance for the ksoines pasim. Sha'asa Yaakov Avinu li'yosef. Asher besibasa nisgalgel adover v'yardu aveseinu l'mitzrayim. The very first thing we do the night of the Seder, karpas. Karpas reminds us of ksoines pasim. It sort of elicits in our mind the thought, how did we end up in Mitzrayim? Oh, it's because of that ksoines pasim that got us jealous. That's the very first thing we did the night of the Seder. So you'll ask, what does karpas have to do with ksoines pasim? So pasim. Rabbeinu Manoach doesn't say. But he says that's the reason for karpas. So I found in the Ben Ish Chai writes, kar is the Lashon mecher. Kar is the last two letters of sale. Pas are the first two letters of pasim. Mecher, the mechiras Yosef, was because of pasim.
So, how about rock, soft? How about his para?
You could say that pshat also.
Easy, he was soft. At first he was soft, then it got harder. So kar is rock.
Okay, right now we're focusing on this pshat, Rabbeinu Manoach, that he's saying that the reason for karpas is what? Ksoines pasim. It's a remez. Kar, look what he writes in number 8. The tibur rishon zeh, the Ben Ish Chai writes, this first dipping, shu karpas b'chaymetz, in vinegar, hu zeche l'sibas k'shi ha-shibud. Why was the shibud so difficult? Shehoye b'shvil mechiras Yosef ha-tzadik. V'shehet bilu ksoines pasim shaloi b'dam. Omecharuhu. V'garmutzar li'yakov. V'zeh nirmas b'karpas. That is alluded to in the word karpas. V'haynu, ois kar. are the last letters of Mecher, and the Oisiois of Pas are the first letters of Pasim. Rabbi Isai, very interesting. Pasim. Kar are the last letters of Mecher, Pas are the first letters of Pas. Okay. There's a famous tshuva of the Marshal in Simon Peiches, that after you eat, you take out the treasure. What's the treasure? The Afikoman. As it's wrapped up in its cover, you sling it behind you. You ever see some people do this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sling it behind you. Right? And you walk in your house, and you say, Kach hayu aviseinu holchim im misharoisam tzuris b'simloiseyam. This is how our forefathers walked with their packages slung over their shoulder. Oh, what in the world are you doing? You're a grown man. You're walking around with the thing slung over your shoulder?
Sure. What is like?
What are you doing?
That's how they left.
So why don't you build pyramids also the night of the Seder? Why don't you put your kids in, you know, throw them? Why don't you, you know, rub yourself a dam and bring frogs onto the table and lice? Bring in a lion for Arav.
Or take a step.
You know? Bring grasshoppers, spread them all over the table. Take a step. Get lice, open up, you know, get a can of lice. And, you know, pour it on everybody's head. No, the one thing that's convenient for us, right, that we don't like. That nobody took. Maybe have a guy come in, turn off the lights. Choshech, right?
But it's not.
What?
It's not the makas we're commemorating. We're commemorating leaving.
Or maybe flood your house and then have, you know, have Kriyas Yamsuf. No, we'll take the convenient one. Take the thing over your shoulder. That's the thing. Why don't you take a stick? No. Of all the things we do the night of the Seder, what do? Take a stick, the money belt, a lamb. Get a lamb, tie it to your. No, those things are too expensive. This, we take an easy thing. Yeah. So the Rav Shlomo Kluger, again in his Haggadah Yiriyah Shlomo, he says like this, an amazing thing. Hine ha'achroinim b'simen taf ayin vav. Hiviu b'shem marshal. The achroinim bring in the name of the marshal. V'yotzi ha'afikoymen k'may shukach v'mapa. Take out the afikoymen as it's wrapped up. V'yishal shal la'achorov. Sling it behind you. Walk 4 amos in the house and say, Kach hayu aviseinu holchem. Says Rav Shlomo Kluger. Hine la'avin tam davar zeh. What's the reason for this? We have to, you know, mimic every little movement they made in Mitzrayim. No, the last 3 hours of staying over the Haggadah, that's not enough. Now you have to sling the thing over your back. Well, we have to start adding new practices. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us about the Karban Pesach. Listen to this. Everyone would take the Karban Pesach, wrap the meat in the skin of the Pesach, sling it over their shoulder. It's a halacha in Karban Pesach. Look at number 11, the Gemara Pesachim. Samachem and Beis Tana, Kalechad v'yachad noisein pischai ba'ayroi. Everyone would put the Karban Pesach in its skin. Umavshil la'achayrov, sling it behind them. Amaravilish, tayos. Not fayos, tayos. Ravilish said, Tayos. What does that mean? Good question. What does that mean? Says Rashi. How did they used to sling it over their shoulders, the Karban Pesach? Derech Soicharim Yishma'elim Huzeh. Like Arab merchants. Oh, even better. You know how they used to sling the Karban Pesach over their shoulders? Like Arab merchants. Not like Jewish merchants. Not like Indian merchants. Not like American merchants. Arab merchants. I mean, what in the world? What are we bringing up? What are we drumming up the Arabs for in the Karban Pesach? All of a sudden, when it comes to Karban Pesach, oh, by the way, you want to know how to sling it over your shoulder? Go to the, you know, the Muslim shuk, and look how they sling over their wares. And that's how you should sling over the Karban Pesach. Well, what are we bringing them in for? What are we bringing the Yishma'elim? All of a sudden, you know, you want to know how to keep halacha? Look at the Yishma'elim.
That's what we do with the
towel. Says Reb Shlomo Kluger, an amazing thing. Look at number 13.
What's the rabbi's name?
Amar Rav Eilish. Look on the second line. Tayos. Says Rashi, Derech Soichwa Yishma'ilim. B'nei me'oilam hazeh davar tamiyali. Says Reb Shlomo Kluger. My whole life, This was astonishing to me. What's Rav Ilish coming to teach you? Why are Chazal putting in Shas? You know how to sling the Korban Pesach? Like a bunch of Arabs. The whole Braisa doesn't make sense. Do we really care how they used to carry the Korban Pesach to their house? What the Braisa is telling me, some ancient cultural practice of the ancient Hebrews. By the way, the ancient Hebrews used to carry the Passover offering to their home like ancient Arab merchants. Shkoyach. You know, well, what am I going to do with that? Who cares? Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, this is a great riddle and mystery, but the Chachamim are encoding in this vague and cryptic statement, the Chachamim are encapsulating a great secret. And you know what the secret is? I'm going to tell you the secret. You ready? The secret is like this. Dine betam inyan shiba mitzrayim. If you want to know, why did God make us suffer in Egypt? Harbei ta'amrim nema. There are many reasons. Meheichanim shach shiba mitzrayim. Avram Avinu said b'ma'eda. Avram's Avera, and already from before, from the time of Adam Arishan. But if we were to ask, what is the most direct, obvious reason why we had to go down to Mitzrayim? V'das kama haveda avoin mechiras Yosef. Many commentaries will tell you it's because of the sin of selling Yosef. And we know that the Korban Pesach is a remez to the Geula. And the Maror is a reference to the Shibud. Why don't then we make a remez to why we went down in the first place? In other words, like this. Why do we eat matzah to commemorate the leaving? Why do we eat Maror to commemorate the Shibud? Why don't we do something to commemorate how we ended up in Mitzrayim? The answer is we do. You know what we do? We take the Korban Pesach, we sling it over our backs like Arab merchants, and we think, Arab merchants, what in the world are we doing? Why would we want to emulate the Arabs? And then we say, you know why we want to emulate the Arabs? Because who was Yosef sold to? Soicharim Yishmaelim, Arab merchants. And how were they holding their wares when we sold Yosef down to them? Over their shoulders. And we say, hey, that's how we ended up in. That's the reason why they carry the Korban Pesach over their shoulders. He says like this.
One person carried the whole thing? It's kind of heavy. And one person did it.
He worked out before.
Or everybody took their portion and carried it over their shoulder.
Yeah, one of them. I just wondered. Not sure. He says, why don't we... Why not the remez ve'ezah inyan nimshach hashiv ve'ezah pa... Because by Mechiras Yosef it says they lifted up their eyes and they saw Yishmaelim coming, and then it says Midyanim Seicherim came, and then it says that they sold Yosef to Yishmaelim. Ulekach asu remez bezeh b'mashenasu haPesach kederach Yishmaelim lahazkir inyan Mechiras Yosef. So now
it seems that everyone did it.
Everybody, okay. Everyone, right? Well, look, not everybody brought their own Korban Pesach.
No, but everyone, they wanted to divide it up.
Yeah, it says Kol Echad V'Echad, correct. It says Kol Echad V'Echad. So very interesting. So Rabbi Yisai, we're seeing that many of the things we do the night of the Seder are not only to commemorate the freedom, not only to commemorate the bondage, to commemorate how we ended up in Mitzrayim. The two dippings. The dipping of the Ksenes Pasim, the dipping of the Agudas Ezev. The Karpas, which according to Rabbeinu Manoach comes from Pasim. And the whole minog of slinging the Afikoman over the shoulder like Yishmaelim, it comes to commemorate Mechiras Yosef. Rabbi Yisai, when we talk about the Aver of Mechiras Yosef and what Klal Yisrael had to suffer because of Mechiras Yosef, we know that because of the Chet Ha'egel, that's a Avera that Klal Yisrael suffers from until when?
Today.
Till the end of time. Right? Hashem says, Uviyoin Pakti, Ufakadati Alechem Asamanosechem. Every Avera that we do, when God punishes us for it, it has mixed into it a little bit of Chet Ha'egel. But likewise, we find the same concept from Mechiras Yosef, that whenever Hashem punishes Klal Yisrael, mixed into the punishment is a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. So, what does that mean? Does that mean every time Hashem punishes, there's a little sprinkling of Egel, a little sprinkling of Mechiras Yosef? Says the Meshech Chachma, it depends. There are two types of Averas. There's Bein Adam La'amakayim, Bein Adam La'chaveray. Whenever Klal Yisrael sins Bein Adam La'amakayim, Hashem punishes for the Chet Ha'egel. Whenever Klal Yisrael sins Bein Adam La'chaveray, Hashem punishes for Mechiras Yosef. How do we know this? Says the Meshech Chachma in the Yom Kippur davening. We say like this. Kiata Solchan Yisrael, right? You are the Solchan Yisrael. Umachalan Shiftei Yishurun. Hashem is the Solchan Yisrael, and He's the Machalan for the Shiftei Yishurun. When did God say the words Selicha? Selachti Kvarecha. By which Avera? Chega Egel. Li Yisrael. What did Klal Yisrael say by the Chega Egel? Ele Eloihecha Yisrael. So God is the Sulchan Selicha Li Yisrael for the Chega Egel when Klal Yisrael said Ele Eloihecha Yisrael. Umachalan. And when is he Meichel? Le Shivte Yeshurun for the Shvatim. What Avera did the Shvatim do? Mechir Asiya Yisef. Says the Meshech Chachma, there are two Averois that haunt us until the end of time. Chedo Egel, Mechir Asiya Yisef. All Averos Ben Adam Lamakom have their root in that original sin of the Egel. All Averos Ben Adam Lachaveroi have their root in the Mechir Asiya Yisef. So if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sin Aschinam, which sin is at the root of those sins that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Mechir Asiya Yisef.
Brothers Paskin, that he was hired Misa Yosef.
Yeah.
I understand what the problem was. And it's true they had Nehias, but they Paskin, according to Halacha, they had to be killed. So they did a chesed for him. They sold him instead of killing him. So I never understood that.
Good question. Okay. We're going to talk about that. Okay, very good. We'll talk about that. Rabbi said, we're not going to have time to examine the idea that the Asara Haruge Malchus are relevant to the brothers who sold Yosef, right? Rabbeinu Mechaye brings an amazing idea, and the Mekubalim discuss the concept that the 10 brothers who sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim had to come back to this world as the Hasara Haruge Malchus, and eventually they had their tikkun in the murdering of the Hasara Haruge Malchus. We're not going to get into that right now. But what we'd like to discuss is an amazing thing that Mr. Frank is bringing up, and that is that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says something. I saw it again this morning. You know, your heart skips a beat. And that is that throughout history, Klal Yisrael has been accused of blood libels, of killing children for matzos, right, for dalet kaisos, and obviously there is no semblance of truth to that. But Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says, how could it be that Hashem would allow such a thing to happen? Hashem is going to allow Klal Yisrael to be accused of something that has no basis in reality? I mean, usually, if we're accused of something, there is some kernel of truth to it. Usually, we say that every lie has some element of truth, right? Sheker in le raglayim. You know, it has to stand on something. And yet, with the blood libels, completely baseless, why would God allow that to happen to us? Look what Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says. It's frightening. He says in number 18 in the Kavitz Na'amarim, Hine Yodua. There are two things we always suffer from. Number one, we're going to examine number one. Mibachutz, me'alilos dam, blood libels. Asher hudavar nifla ma'id. It's so strange. Kare haklalu. We have a principle. Shekol sheker she'em by kurtav shel emes in yachalas gaim. A fabrication, a lie that doesn't have a kernel of truth has no, cannot stand, cannot last. The hasheker hazeh shalilas dam. This lie, this accusation of the blood libels. Anybody ever feel mashu? A Jew, right? What's a halal? If a Jew would open up an egg and there'd be a little tiny speck of blood, they would throw out the whole egg. Even though, why should I throw out the egg? There's no chash. The egg wasn't fertilized. We stay so far away from blood, and they're going to accuse us of the halilos dam. Vizemi pile hahashkacha. This is one of the mysteries of divine providence. Why would God allow us to be accused of blood libel? Doesn't make any sense. Says Rabbi Chanan, V'davar barahu, it is clear, ki bevadai ha'inesh hazeh, right? And throughout the millennia, how many Jews were murdered because of blood libels? Rabbi Chanan said, I'll tell you exactly why. Ki bevadai ha'inesh hazeh al klal yisrael hu mechuvan mida k'neged mida. It must be measure for measure, right? In Latin, how do you say it? Quid pro quo, right? Measure for measure. Be'areza avoin, it must be for some sin. Shenefron avurei b'chal adoyros, says Rabbi Chanan. Ve'lulei she'aneni kedai, and if not for the fact that I'm not worthy to say such a thing, ha'yisi amr, you know what I would say? Kihu mechuvan neged ha'avain shel vayitzbelu haksoines badam. We took Yosef's cloak, we dipped it into blood, and we told Yaakov, this is the blood of Yosef. And Hashem, Mishamayim, looks down on that and says, what? You're making this false claim that this is the blood of your brother while it's the blood of something else? Says Rabbi Chanan, throughout the millennia, all of the einshim of the blood libels was mida keneged mida, because we dipped Yosef's tunic in blood, and we said, Chayara achalasu, says Rabbi Chanan, v'im shagisi. If I'm mistaken in what I'm saying, Hashem yichaper badi, God should forgive me for what I just said. That's a frightening thought. That's a frightening thought. Very frightening thought. In other words, this idea that we're saying that the Mechiras Yosef is for all times, for all generations, it's never forgiven. Look at the severe consequences that Rabbi Chanan puts in front of us. So it comes along Rav Matasyahu Solomon and he says, we're not finished over here. We're not finished over here. Why? Because think about the following idea. If the blood libels are because of the sin of Mechiras Yosef, then why are they always accusing us Pesach time? Why are the blood libels always associated with matzah, marah? It's not like we did this to Yosef on Pesach. So says Rav Matasyahu, a frightening thought. Every Pesach, as we're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Ribbono Shel Olam looks down from Shemayim and he says, guys, are you going to do something to fix the problem? Or are you going to be every single year sitting in Queens saying, Lashana Abba B'Yushalayim? And every year, Mishamayim, God looks down and He says, so what are you doing about it? Are you correcting the Sinas Chinam? Every Pesach, the accusation lands on us again. What are you going to do about Mechiras Yosef? Frightening thought. So what we're seeing is that the concept of Mechiras Yosef is not ignored the night of the Seder. It's a theme very much intertwined with Lel Seder. And according to Rav Matasyahu Solomon's addition to Rabbi Chanan, it's a very frightening concept. By the way, aside from the fact that we dip the karpas, and we dip two times, and we sling the thing behind our shoulders, we know we eat an egg on the Pesach, right? There's a beya on the Pesach Seder. Why? Avelos. Avelos? Avelos for what? Tisha B'Av, it's Pesach.
We do it there.
Enjoy. You can eat the egg. I want to know why you're eating the egg. So what does the Ramah say? The Ramah says like this. It's Avelos. What's the Avelos? Because we have a tradition at Bash. The first night of Pesach is the same night of the year as? Tisha B'Av. If you want to know, when is Tisha B'Av this year? Monday night. Every single year. The first night of Pesach is the same night as Tisha B'Av. In other words, what does that mean to us? That the night of Pesach, we need to think to ourselves, we're still in the mess. We're still in the mess. If I were to ask you, how many years were we in Mitzrayim? Okay? So there are all kinds of cheshbonos. We were actually physically in the land of Egypt. 210.
From when Yaakov came down.
Yeah. Why 210? What's the significance of 210 years? What's the significance of 210 years? So you say, Yaakov Ruveni tells us that Yaakov Avinu had a dilemma. What was the dilemma of Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov, right, the Pasuk says that when he sent Yosef down to check on the brothers who were grazing their sheep, Yaakov sort of had some kind of intuition that things were headed down to Mitzrayim. And he had a dilemma. Were they going to be there 260 years? Or 210 years. What's 260? What's 210? Well, we know God's name is what? Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's the numerical value of Yud Kei Vav Kei?
26.
How many Shvatim sold Yosef? 10. So to rectify the sin of the sale of Yosef, 10 times 26, 260. So Yaakov had a dilemma. Maybe they need to rectify the 10 brothers who caused a diminution of the name of God. That's 260. Or maybe the name of God that was affected was not Yud Kei Vav Kei, but rather Aleph Hei, Yud Hei, Ekia. Like how Hashem introduced himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ekia Asher Ekia. What's 10 times, what's Ekia? Aleph Hei and then Yud Hei? 21. 10 times 21 is? 210. So Yaakov Avinu had this great dilemma. Vayishlachehu me'emek chevroin. Emek is 210. Chevroin is 260. He didn't know. Are they going to be there 210 years, says Rabbi Yaakov Avinu? Are they going to be there Chevron, 260 years? In total, Rabbi Yisai, how long were they in Mitzrayim? 430 plus the 40 years in the Midbar. How much is that? 470, 210 plus 260, both. They were literally in Mitzrayim 210. But if you want to add up from the very beginning of the birth of Yitzchak until they made it back into Eretz Yisrael, 470 years. Kaminyan, Kor HaBarzel. Kor HaBarzel, the iron furnace, that Mitzrayim in the Navi is called the iron furnace, is Gematria 470. So they were literally in the land 210. They were in the other places 260. A total of 470. An amazing thing. Rabbi, so listen to this. Why were in Mitzrayim 210 years? Because the 10 brothers sold Yosef. Exactly what we're saying. The whole purpose of being Mitzrayim was to rectify the sale of Yosef 10 times 21. So when Moshe Rabbeinu sees the burning bush, what does the pasuk say? Bayar Hashem ki sar lirois. What's sar? Samach Reish. How much is that, sar?
260.
Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, what are you taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim? We still have 50 years left. Sar. Moshe Rabbeinu was looking at sar. He was looking that the Jews need to be there 260. Because why? Because he thought the 10 brothers were poygam, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, 10 times 26. To which God says, no, you got the wrong name. Ekia Asher Ekia. It's 10 times 21. Aye, what are you going to do about the missing? How many? 50? Oh, v'zeh yelecha ha'ayis. B'tzeis chamim etzayim, ta'avdun, you will serve 50 days. The 50 days from Yitzias Mitzrayim until Matan Torah, each day made up for an extra year that the 210 was under 260.
Yeah, Har is Gematria 210. But,
what?
Har, Gematria is 210.
Beautiful. But okay, you put in the Sefer. But, Rabbi, so what we're learning is that if you want to calculate the number of years that Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, it's in direct correlation with the effect that the brothers, by selling Yosef Atzad. And we find, the Tanan Dveil Yo tells us, okay, we're almost done, number 23, that when Klal Yisrael were about to leave Mitzrayim, Kishal Yisrael be Mitzrayim, Niskabtsu, Kulam, V'yashu Yachad, they gathered together, they sat together, they made the following treaty. Mishum shahayu kulam ba'aguda achas. They got together in one group. V'karsu bris yachad sheyasu gemilos chasadim zem zeh. And they made a treaty that they would from now on act with chesed to one another. So imagine this. As they're about to leave, they make a pact, they sign a treaty. What's the treaty? Is the treaty they're not going to use nuclear arms against, you know, their neighbors? No. They made a bris. They were kairis bris. They're going to act the gemilas chesed one to another. Well, what does God do with anything? They had nothing better to do as they were leaving. No, because they understood in order to leave Mitzrayim, they need to rectify the sin of Mechiras Yosef. So Rabbi Yisai, coming back to the round matzah.
Coming around.
Okay. The Sefer, Shas Tshuvas Mahari Asad, also points out the importance of round matzah. Why? Because he says, the pasuk says, Vayoifu es habatzeik, ugois matzois. Ugois matzois. Interesting lashon. Ugois matzois. What does the word uga mean?
Cake.
Uga is a cake. By choyni hamagel, it says, when the rain wasn't falling, ug uga. Well, he made a cake, he baked a cake. Ug uga, says Rashi, uga is kamei agula. Uga is like the word agula, round. Round. So says Maria Asad, the Torah could leave out the word uga. It could say, Vayoifu es habotzik asheratim b'mitzrayim matzois. Who asked the Torah to write ugois matzois? Why does the Torah want to tell me the shape? Why is the Torah telling me the shape? Says the Maria Asad, Shalas Tshuva's Maria Asad, by the way, the Maria Asad, he's a tremendous gadol. He used to cry every night, tikkun chatzos. And he used to save his tears in a cup. And when Talmidim would come to him, who were afraid of being drafted by the army, he would give them from his tears, they would drink his tears, and that was protected them from being drafted in the army. Anyway, so he says, why is the Torah telling me that the matzah was round? To teach that was the correct surah that matzah should be. The Torah is not telling you extraneous detail. The Torah is telling you this is how it should be made. Ah. And then he explains why. Yeah, like the Rashi says in the Masechta Tainis, aguga means agula, a circle. He says, let me tell you, what's the reason the matzah should be round? He gives a few suggestions. First he says, matzah is called lechem, oini, poverty. And Chazal tells us about poverty, it's gagal hachoizer ba'olam. You know, the life cycle has it that, you know, today you have money, tomorrow you don't. The guy who didn't have money yesterday, today he has money. The money, right? It's come, it's here today, gone tomorrow. It's a circle. It's like the life cycle. Or, he says, the same way we eat the round egg, the night of Pesach, as Avelos, the matzah is supposed to be round, also as a siman of Avelos. Okay? But, very interesting, there's a sefer, Rava de Ravin, from the Kleisenberger Rebbe. Remember Rabbi Obam mentioned that the ancestor of the Kleisenberger Rebbe, the Tzanzarov, held that machine matzah was chametz. So his descendant, you know, keeps up the faith, and he also explains the necessity of round matzah. Okay, let's listen to his suggestion. And that should, you know, come full circle. Get it? Okay, so... So he says like this. He says, if we were to ask Rabbi Yisai, why did we end up in Mitzrayim? Mechiras Yosef, Sinas Chinam, Pirud Halavavos. He says a very interesting thing about a circle. And that is, a circle is the one shape that you could take two of them and they can't be put together. They're incompatible. They don't fit. They don't match. They protrude on the edges. They are inverted on the top. They cannot be put together. The square, they fit, they match, they're symmetrical. Says the Kleisenberger Rebbe, interesting thought. The reason why Minog Yisrael is specifically to have the round matzah is when you take your matzahs and you realize that they don't shtim, they don't go together, you realize why we ended up in the mess in the first place. It's because of Sinas Chinam. It's because we sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim. Look what happens as a result of the period halavavos, and he brings down. That's why the minog sfarad, the Sephardim, Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, they have a custom of eating matzah until Shavuos. Yeah, that's minog sfarad. Why? He said a very interesting thing. You know, why did the students of Rabbi Akiva die during the Yimei HaSfira? You know, think about it. Oh, sinas chinam, big deal. That they had such a severe penalty because of Sinas Chinam, that they all passed away. Why specifically at that time of the year? Says the Kleisenberger Rebbe, interesting thought, that had it been at a different time, perhaps they would not have been so accountable for what they did. But after Pesach, at a time where the whole Yom Tov is to make us think a little bit, why we ended up in Mitzrayim, and what brought us down there, because what we did to our brothers, and we do all the rituals, we dip, and we dip again. To understand, we got in the mess because of the dipping of Sina. We got out of the mess because of the dipping of Ahava. We dip the Karpas. And we see that Pesach is the same night as Tisha B'Av. To understand that the same reason we went down to Mitzrayim, that is why the Beis HaMikdash is no longer there. And at this time of the year, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, this is what they did? That's why the penalty was so severe during that time. He explains, that's the reason for round matzah. So Abayisai, an interesting thought, whatever your custom is, whether you eat round matzah, square matzah, machine matzah, hand matzah, the words that we read in the beginning of the shir, of the Chafetz Chaim, Ad masai niya begoyla, until how long do we need to be in this galus? These are very haunting words. And as we're doing the dipping, the night of Pesach, we should think a little bit of what we need to do in Meretz Hashem, that this Pesach, when we say Lashana Habab Yushalayim, it should be Makuyam, to the Askel Tzadik Meher Yameinu Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.